Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
What's up, Church by the Glades? Hey, thank you for logging on right now. These are 9, 10 very noisy people in a 2,000-seat room right now. Thanks for being with us. If you're new to Church by the Glades, my name is David. I'm one of the pastors here at Church by the Glades. So glad you're with us. We're in a series of studies. We're calling Bless My Stress. And please engage. Man, join in the chat, if you will. In fact, here's a question. During the quarantine, most of us are still staying inside the vast majority of time. I know it's starting to open up a little bit. But during the quarantine, what's been your favorite binge food? I mean, typically, I eat a pretty healthy diet overall, but I kind of lost my mind a few times during this quarantine season. So my family, we love a good cheeseburger. Love a good cheeseburger, throwing some burgers on the grill. Padrino's Cuban food, woo, so good. Now, yeah, I get the chicken breast, but got to do the black beans and rice, right? So a little cheat there. But, you know, our go-to has been pizza. And if you're watching this in Nebraska or California or Zimbabwe or something, here in South Florida where our campuses are, we got great pizza. I mean, here, right here on this campus, man, Anna Marie's Pizza, Guido's Pizza, Pizza Time Cafe. I think I mentioned pizza even last week. A few days ago, we had an anniversary, at least 22 years. Thank you, hon. 22 great years, but we couldn't go out to dinner. You know, we had a great anniversary, though. We hung out with each other all day long. We exercised, played with the kids, and then you chose for dinner pizza once again. We had this beautiful meat lover's pizza. Check this thing out. Look at this. Oh, my gosh. That's one of those beautiful pictures of my wife ever right there. Look at that beautiful picture. So what has been your binge? What have you gone to during this time? What are you eating you typically wouldn't eat? You know, well, listen, we're going to binge right now on the Bible. The Bible self-defines as food. The Bible describes itself as spiritual meat to grow your muscle in God. It describes itself as milk to grow up babies into maturity. Even the Old Testament, the Bible defines itself as honey, sweet to the taste. So we're going to dive in today, dine on God's word. Philippians chapter 4 is our text we've been studying. It is my favorite chapter in all the Bible. It is so positive, full of God's promises, so wonderfully optimistic, and it fits the circumstance we're going through right now. It speaks to times of uncertainty. And with, you know, the economy and with COVID-19, all those things going on, these are those kind of times. So if you're binging on food, that's fine. I've been doing that too. I'm not judging. I mean, some people go to college, pick up the freshman 15. I'm working on the COVID-19 right now, so I'm not judging. But we're going to get into God's word. It's something healthy to spend time. So I hope you've ramped up a good spiritual appetite as we jump into scripture. So going to study Philippians 4 today, and then let me tease you up for next week. Hey guys, next week, Mother's Day. Got to honor the ladies, do something nice for your mom. Now I know it's a little different. Like I can't take my mom to dinner. My mom's 88, so she's staying home. You know, can't even get her flowers right now. The florist is still closed here in South Florida. I don't know, get your mom toilet paper or something, you know, make sure you call her. How about this? Do church with her. In fact, moms, you have leverage this week, and there's somebody in your life, probably some knucklehead guy, that you've invited to church by the Glades, past years, and they won't come because they got to dress up and drive and blah, blah, blah. This year, easy. Virtual church. So there's going to be some smart mom. You're going to call your son or ask your husband, hey, I want you to do church right. You're going to call that son. Lives in a different state. That's fine. And so he's going to watch church with you. Say, hey, I want to watch church. Let's do the 11:30 hour together. I'll join you on the chat. And guess what? He'll do it. He'll watch Church by the Glades on his smartphone. And mom, you're a techie. You're going to go ahead and mirror your iPad on your smart TV. You'll do church together. So moms, it's all you. And by the way, next week, something so special. There's this wonderful communicator. Gosh, she was with us maybe 6 or 7 years ago. She's outstanding, but she's in such high demand, I couldn't get her back. I've tried. We know her well. She's awesome. Priscilla Shire. Yeah. And there's always opportunity in every circumstance. We thought, guess what? Well, she's in quarantine in Dallas. In fact, she's had a pretty serious surgery, so she has some immune issues right now. But we reached out to Priscilla and said, hey, Priscilla, while you're there, how about you shoot a message for Church by the Glades on Mother's Day weekend? So she agreed. So she has put together a unique message just for our church family. If you've not heard Priscilla, get ready. Get ready. She communicates to young and old, male and female. I don't know if there's a better preacher on the planet than Priscilla Shire. If you're part of Church by the Glades, you know her brother, Anthony Evans. Yeah. Gifted worship leader. Yeah. A lot of talent in that family, right? Man, she's a great preacher. He's a great singer. Their dad, Dr. Tony Evans, one of the greatest pastors in America right now. So Priscilla Shire, next week, Church by the Glades, Mother's Day. And then if things go according to plan, and plans are fluid right now, right? Everything's changing. But I plan on wrapping up the conversation, bless my stress, the week after that. And I want to land on verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4. Verse 19 is one of the great promises in all the Word of God. It's on the big screen behind me right now. Check out what it says. Hey, would you read out loud the highlighted word? Here's what it says. And my God shall supply all your needs. Look at this. According to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It is hard to fully fathom the scope and the scale of this magnificent promise. My God shall supply all your needs, not just your religious needs, every life need, but look at the source of the resourcing from his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I mean, God has everything. God has truly an unlimited supply. Here on earth, things run out all the time. There's shortages all the time, especially right now. But God has this inexhaustible supply, and he's willing to resource your life. Now, he's not going to promise to make you rich, but to meet all of your needs or according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Some Bible scholars say the magnitude of this verse, this one promise, is so big that every other promise in the Bible God makes fits under the umbrella of Philippians 4:19. So when God promises to supply your life with his power or his peace or his blessing or his forgiveness, it all is from this inexhaustible resource of Philippians 4:19. So no matter what you're lacking right now, you've lost your job, you need a paycheck, you're sick, God says, I'm going to meet your needs. Philippians 4:19, that's coming up next week. It's going to be so fun. Make sure you're here. Thanks for engaging right now, whether here in the room to you nice nine people, noisy, rowdy nine people. To all of our people watching online, like our Amen Corner. Where is our digital Amen Corner? What's up, Amen Corner? Woo! Thank you guys for being with us right now. So Priscilla next week, invite someone to Priscilla, and then we wrap up Philippians 4:19, that great promise, the week after that. And again, to backtrack, you know, this chapter is so amazing. All these great promises. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 6, God promises a peace that surpasses comprehension. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. And put that one on the mug, the bumper sticker, the Christian t-shirt, right? I mean, what a great promise. But in verse 12, Paul says, I have learned the secret to being content in any and every situation. When I say three, shout the word every. Ready? One, two, three.
Every.
Yeah, put it in the chat there, all caps, every. Paul says, I've learned the secret to peace and contentment in every circumstance, every situation. You see, most of us, our hope of peace or contentment is based on our circumstances. If everything's going well, if everything's smooth, harmonious, my job, my income, my relationships, my health, if all of my life is firing on all cylinders all the time, I can have peace, I can be content. Paul says, no, I've learned a secret of contentment that supersedes the circumstantial. And you recall, Paul wrote this from a prison. What is that secret? Well, there's a series of techniques embedded in these verses. I want to explore these with you. And by the way, right now, if you're watching and you're not a person of faith, you would not consider yourself a Christian person, guess what? Number one, thank you. Yep. Yeah. Thank you for being with us right now. What you're doing, gosh, it's brilliant. There's never been a better time to investigate the claims of the Bible than right now. And the claims of the Bible, they're big. The Bible teaches that God, there's a God who made you, a God who loves you, a God who has a purpose for your life, a God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to pay for our shortcomings, our sins. And if we say yes to Jesus, by the way, you can do that today. You can begin an eternal, beautiful relationship with this God. Those claims are so magnificent. You got to research this issue. You got to do your spiritual homework, and you can do it right now from the anonymity and the comfort of your own home. You can check out the claims of Christ in your jammies, sipping decaf right now. Well done. And by the way, if you're not a person of faith, these techniques are still things you can do if you're battling stress, if you're dealing with anxiety or fear right now. So let's back up Philippians 4, verse 4 through verse 7. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing, let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing." Translation, be worried for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the
peace.
The peace. That's what you want. Yeah. The peace of God. I'm so stressed out. There's so much anxiety, so much pressure right now. Global economies, a pandemic. What's the future going to look like? My peace. And the peace of God that surpasses comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I believe embedded in these verses are some steps. Let me quickly review the steps we discovered thus far. Like verse 4, verse 5, step number 1, thing to know number 1, God is near. God is near. Let your forbearing spirit be unto all men. The Lord is near. And we take comfort knowing that God is close by, that God is not distant, God is not unaware, God's not annoyed and bothered. No, God loves you and he's near. That's why God whispers, because to hear a whisper, you have to come near. So God is with you in this situation right now. Then the second thing we learned last week, when you worry, when you're stressed out, maybe it's attached to a circumstance or an event, something bad happened in your life, or maybe you're like me, the time I worry is nighttime. Yeah. Nighttime, like it happened actually last night. I went to bed early, I was tired, and I woke back up, Lisa, about 12:30, 1 o'clock. I was worried. So what you do, if you're like me and you're a nighttime worrier, you make a critical substitution, a critical substitution. What do? Put worry on the bench. Put worry on the bench. Ever been benched? Did you play a sport in high school or college and had to sit the bench? Maybe you made a mental mistake. I mentioned last week, you can watch the message from last week, playing high school football. I blew a play. I messed up on my assignment. And my coach, good coach, but a tough, fair coach, put me on the bench. Think about my mistake. Hey, guess what? Bench worry. When you're laying there at night, stressed out, you know, having that eternal dialogue, scripting mental scenarios about disastrous, bench worry. Hey, worry, get out of the game. You're doing nothing to help my life right now. Oh my gosh, you're making my head hurt. You're making me lose sleep. I'll be grumpy tomorrow. You're giving me an ulcer. Worry, you sit there on the bench and think about what you have done. Yeah, pull worry from the game. Be anxious for nothing. Now, if all you do is bench worry, it has to be more than that. Because the moment you turn your back, a worry is going to sneak right back in the game. The moment you're not paying attention, you just can't stop worrying. So you make a substitution. When you're worried, you say no to worry, you bench worry. And then it says in verse 6, by prayer, by prayer. So I'm going to start to pray. So what does that mean is, instead of just having that conversation with myself about this issue, right, I'm going to invite God into that dialogue. Yeah. Instead of talking about it, thinking about my own issue, like four people are impressed. Well, I'll take four of you guys on that one. I want God to be involved. God, I'm worried about my paycheck. I'm worried about my job. Someone I love has tested positive. Gosh, when things start back, you know, God, what do I do? God, I want you to guide me. God, would you lead me? God, would you bless me? God, would you supply my needs? God, would you keep, invite God. So prayer. So I'm going to substitute, put worry on the bench and put prayer in its place. Now, let's pick up some new territory. I mentioned last week, but it's a 2-for-1 substitution. Yeah, you pull worry and you replace worry, not with one player, prayer, but with two. So back to the passage. Just come back if we can to verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Ready? And supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So the second player I'm going to put in, Thanksgiving. Your basketball, you got six players on your team and it's okay. Huge advantage. So I'm going to bench worry, put in prayer and thanksgiving. So if you're here watching this right now, not even a Christian, you can still be grateful. So if you're stressing and you're worried, let's just throw the brakes on that. Turn the page and think about the good things in your life. Remember the good people in your life. If you're a believer, remember God's goodness in your life. So Thanksgiving is just remembering all those positive things. Remember, remember. When I say three, say the word remember. One, two, three.
Remember.
Now you got to remember the good things because you don't have to remember the worries. Do you understand? I mean, laying there like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., I can't sleep. I'm not laying in bed ever going, man, I can't remember things to be worried about. Man, I can't remember issues, right? No, they invade my mind. All those negative thoughts, all that dysfunction, all that brokenness, man, they show up like unwanted guests, like party crashers, man. They just invade my mind. It's like I have to work hard to remember all the bad stuff. That comes naturally, sadly. I got to work to remember the good things in life. I got to work hard to remember what God has done in my life. Let me show you an example, Lamentations. Lamentations is an Old Testament book I recommend you don't read when you're sad. I mean, it's a bit of a downer book. Lamentations is a series of lamentations. It's the author venting, if you will. He's going through a really rough patch, and he's telling God. So why is this downer book in your Bible? Here's the reason why. It shows me that I can always be honest with God. I said before, faith is not spiritualized denial. So I'm hurting or confused or angry, man, I can tell God. Even you see in the Bible, like King David in the Psalms, he gets mad at God. God, this seems like it's not fair. The prophets in the Old Testament say almost the same thing, and God's not offended. Here's the good news. Your God is highly secure. My pain, my sorrow, my frustration, if I tell God that, he knows already anyways. But it won't knock him off his throne. So the author in Lamentations, we're not sure exactly who it is, but our best guess is Jeremiah, is going through a tough time. Now if it is Jeremiah, a couple things to know as far as background. Jeremiah was a prophet when prophets were not very popular. He was a truth teller when truth was not trending whatsoever. And for a number of years, he'd been warning the people of God, Israel, if they didn't change their ways, turn back towards God, stop spiritually compromising, worshiping idols and stuff, that God wouldn't punish them, just God would take off his hand of protection. And life would punish them. And they didn't listen. And sure enough, it happened just the way Jeremiah said. And in 586 BC, the Babylonians invaded that part of the world, decimated Israel, broke down the walls of the capital city, Jerusalem, razed the city, even destroyed the beautiful temple that Solomon had built, took all the sacred things, the valuable things, even trafficked the population, took many of the wealthiest people and the ruling class away to a captivity for 70 years. And Jeremiah and a few people left behind, but life is ruinous and difficult. And he recognized, he remembers how bad things are. And in Lamentations chapter 3, he says, I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness. He remembers the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. How well I remember the feeling of hitting the bottom. Have you hit bottom? Maybe you battle addiction right now, and this quarantine time has been so difficult for you. You can't get to your 12-step group, and maybe you made some mistakes. You have regrets. You feel like you've hit bottom. Jeremiah says, we've lost everything. We've lost our city. We've lost our economy. We've lost our neighbors. We've lost family members. Everything's been taken, our national pride, the feeling of hitting bottom. But there's one other thing I
remember.
I'm going to choose to remember this. And remembering, I keep a grip on hope.
Wow.
Remembering something, I'm going to show you. He keeps a grip on hope. By the way, we got that.
Yes.
That's what the church has. Yes. Wonder what the product is of the church? Because I get it. Church is confusing. What is, David? What is the end game of church? What is the product of the church? Because we're not like most companies or businesses. In fact, we're not a business or a company. We're really not. We're not even an organization. We're a living thing. We're a family, if you will. But I get it. We're confusing. Like, if we're Nike, what does Nike make? Expensive athletic shoes, right? If we're Taco Bell, what's the product of Taco Bell? Like tacos, burritos, and chalupas, right? So what's the product of the church? Hope.
Yes.
We dispense authentic hope. Publix doesn't have any hope, right? The mall has no hope, and it's closed, by the way. Dolphin Stadium, no hope, right? Nothing. NBA playoffs stop. I hope, but they have no hope. We have authentic, transcending, God-based hope. That's what we dispense. All right, speaking of hope, look how the passage continues. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over, even if he's all I've got left. Sometimes in life, you find when God is all you have, God is all you need. I'm remembering the goodness of God. I'm remembering the good things he's done. I'm going to choose to remember and be thankful. So when you're worried or stressed out, turn the page, go towards gratitude, go towards gratitude. Then quickly, another thought in the following verses, verse 7 again and verse 8. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then verse 8, intriguing verse. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is of good repute, if there's any excellence or anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. What's verse 8, 7? It's saying here's another step, another secret. So what verse 8 is saying, it's important what you think about. I think you should think about what you think about because it's vital that we guard our thought life. We guard our thought life. We're discriminating as to the thoughts we allow to dwell in our mind. But see, David, it seems so extreme. Why should I do that? Simple answer is this. Protection matters. Protection is a thing in life. Got to protect your mind. See, the Bible teaches the centerpiece of God's transformation is not your heart. I mean, love God with all of your heart, yes, but the place God changes people is our mind. Romans chapter 12, it says, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So protect your mind. Protection matters. Example, I love sports. So I've been hating the quarantine, right? Any sports fans in the house? Missing NBA. So sad, missed college basketball, missing baseball. Now they're maybe postponing football. ESPN has nothing right now. ESPN, I'm watching like cornhole championships and, you know, World's Strongest Men competition and NBA playoffs from 1986, right? Oh my God. But finally, they had something close to real sports. This past week, it wasn't a game, wasn't a race, wasn't a match. They had the NFL draft. I love the NFL draft, and the Dolphins had 3 picks in the first round this year, and they took a quarterback with pick number 5. They took Tua out of Alabama. Fine. Young athlete, great character, supposedly a believer, won a national title, Heisman Trophy finalist. Thrilled we got him. I think he's going to do well. In fact, other sports fans have said, David, how do you think Tua is going to do? My answer is, well, he'll do great if he is protected. Yeah. If you're not a football fan, quarterback is the most important position on the field by far, but it's a highly synergistic position. A quarterback can only thrive if he has a good receiving core. A good run game helps. A good offensive coordinator. Defense can get the ball back once in a while. And an offensive line to protect him. You know, the Dolphins took a couple offensive linemen. I thought that was a great move. You got to protect that quarterback. If he has time, protection, he'll prosper. He'll do well. I mean, the Dolphins have only picked 4 quarterbacks in the first round in their history. 2 of the 4 are in the Hall of Fame. They had great protection. Now, so Tua will do well if they protect him. Got to protect him. How important is this? Okay, our last quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, is with the Titans. Now, Ryan, I'm a little biased. I know Ryan. He's part of our church. Ryan and Lauren are awesome people, so I am biased. But I say all the time, being biased just makes you biased. Doesn't make you wrong. Ryan balled out last year. He had a remarkable year. Speaking of the bench, he started the season on the bench, but the Titans brought him in. They were only 2-4, going nowhere. Oh, my gosh. He stepped in. He played out of his mind. He set records for QBR and accuracy, won the NFL Comeback Player of the Year, took the Titans to the AFC Championship game. Phenomenal. And I heard some dumb sports fans say things like this. Well, man, Tannehill finally got good. He's always been good. He just had protection this year. He had a team that could protect him, the synergy of protection. You need the same thing for your thought life. It's vital you guard your thoughts, protect your mind. And our minds just drift to all these negative places, and then we fixate on these things. I think verse 7 and verse 8, it's not saying, you know, you can't have a random negative thought, right? Thoughts are kind of passed through your mind. It's more about the idea of what you dwell on or what you fixate on, what you marinate on in your mind. But you need to protect your mind. Think about your brain, guys. You got to have on the LED like a big brain. Can you find me a big brain? Oh, there you go. Think about your brain, your mind, right? So all these thoughts all day and during your waking hours at night are trying to penetrate your brain, pass through your brain, and get stuck in your brain, right? So I think you need this. Based on these two verses, you need a brain bouncer. Guard your thoughts. So this is Jeff. Jeff number one is Jack, and Jeff volunteers at the church, does security for us. He's going to represent this idea of guarding your thoughts, guarding, you know, the things that enter your mind, the pen that you dwell on. So in verse 8, there's a checklist of 8 qualities. Ready? On the screen right now, boom, these 8 qualities. And what it's saying is, just like Jeff is standing there looking all intimidating, you need like a guard. You need a brain bouncer before any thought penetrates and tries to lodge in your mind. Does it meet this 8-fold checklist? Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely, of good repute, or excellence, or worthy of praise? Yeah. Well, David, what do these mean? Gosh, it's a great list. And I'm going to tell you during Fearless 5 this week. Fearless 5, you don't know, is a 5-minute devo. I'm doing 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. I put it on my Instagram, 5 o'clock. It's on the church Instagram, other social media platforms. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. People all over the country and beyond are enjoying those words of inspiration, so thank you. But this list is so phenomenal. I don't want to rush through it, so I'm going to take the time to explain what these 8 mean and how critical they are in helping you reduce stress in your life. So Fearless 5, beginning on Monday this week, Philippians 4, 8, the 8 qualities. But look at this. Look where they land. Look at verse 9. If you'll do this, if you'll put that brain bouncer on your mind, if you'll guard your thoughts, verse 9's on the screen, these things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, get ready, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, you might recognize that phraseology. It looks somewhat like verse 7. Verse 7, it says if we do certain things, practice these secrets, that the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. But here it's not exactly the same. And by the way, I think God did that on purpose. I believe in something called the inerrancy of Scripture, meaning God put every single word in your Bible just the way he designed it on purpose. So though they're the same, there's a clear but subtle difference. In verse 7, he promises the peace of God. But here in verse 9, it's the God of peace. In one verse, it's his promise. In the other verse, it's his presence. And as a believer, if I'm doing these things habitually, surrendering to God, you know, all these things, you know, God is near, making that substitution, pulling out worry. I'm praying, offering thanksgiving. Now I'm guarding my thought life. I get not just the promise of God's peace, but the promise of God's presence. And I do my life between those two things. And that makes me a highly secure person. Let me close with this idea. Please, 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 man, check out Priscilla next week. And if you want to have your own relationship with Christ, that you know for certain and sure you know God, at the end of my talk, they're going to tell you how to do that. You can text a number and just text the word salvation. Someone will contact you this week and you can begin your journey with Jesus. It is the ultimate life game changer. But this idea of verse 7, the peace of God, and verse 9, the God of peace, being so powerful, this twofold promise, it reminds me of moving to our new house. Well, it's not new to us. We've been there like, what, honey, 8 years or so, 9 years. So we moved there like Zane, my youngest. A lot of Zane stories lately. Lots of pizza and Zane lately. Anyways, Zane, gosh, he was a little guy. And when he was like 4 or 5, not in our neighborhood, but across the street, like there's a 4-lane street. And across the street is this giant house. It's not even in the neighborhood. It's kind of this weird, random, massive house across the street. Looks like a castle, has a big gate, right? Fence around the whole thing. I've never seen who lives there. I've heard all kinds of rumors, but I don't know who the person is. And maybe it's Batman's house. Maybe it's Batman's house, because, you know, who knows who lives there. Never see him go in and out. Maybe he comes in and out the Batcave. So Batman lived there. It's Wayne Manor. And then a few years later, MMA fighter Vitor Belfort, champion, tremendous athlete. By the way, a great guy. He loves God, great father, great husband, became a very good friend. So kind to my kid. Vitor is a sweet dude who could break off my arm at any time and beat me to death with it, right? He's that guy. But Vitor moved in down the street, like in our neighborhood, right? So we had Vitor over here, and then we had Batman like across the street. And so Zane's like 7 or 8. One time he said, "Dad, I think I live in the safest house in America. I got Vitor Belfort over here in the neighborhood, and I got Batman across the street. I got Batman and Vitor. That's a safe place to be." Christians, we do every day of our life between the safe place of the promise of God and the person of God. We have the verse 7 promise and the verse 9 presence of God. You live your life in such a wonderful, secure place. So guess what? Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then Paul says, these things you have learned and seen and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Christian, you can be fearless. God, in Jesus' name, we believe and receive everything you promised. Amen. We'll see you next week at Church by the Glades.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CBGlades @PastorDHughes.